Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. The weather's great. So today I'm going to be talking about what God says about life. Most of you know me. My name's Ezra. I'm the director of Love Life here in Florida. And we're on what we call a 40-week journey of hope. And our heart is simple: to unite and mobilize the church to create a culture of love and life. But before anything else, today, we're not starting with opinions. We're not starting with culture. We're starting with, what does God say about life? So like I said, our mission is to unite and mobilize the church, to create a culture of love and life, to put an end to the abortion and the orphan crisis. And we're also tackling human trafficking now as well. But as the scripture says in Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God. And that means even this. But the church must respond, because politicians are not going to change the culture. One thing we strongly believe is God's primary strategy for changing the culture is the church. Throughout history, when the church stood up, the culture changed. When believers cared for the poor, orphanages were started. When believers fought injustice, slavery was confronted. And today, we believe the church is once again being called to stand for the most vulnerable among us, which is the unborn. And scripture says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, a fruit of the womb, a reward. Life is a gift from God. And woe to the man or woman who dares to trifle with such a sacred gift, Charles Spurgeon said. But what does God say? Well, in Psalm 139, most of you know this, or you should do. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. And in Job 10, your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray, that you have made me like clay, and will you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews? You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. And Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God forms life. God creates life. God is involved in the womb. Every life is his workmanship. But what does he say even life before birth? What does he say about that? Well, in Jeremiah 1:5, the Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And in Luke 1:41, we don't want to miss this one. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Mary is carrying Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Elizabeth is carrying John the Baptist. And when Mary greets Elizabeth, John leaps in the womb for joy in the presence of our God. I was cast upon you from birth, as my brother Sean said. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. God knows life before birth. This is not a potential life. This is life. And let's talk about the value of life. In Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. And Deuteronomy 30:19, the scripture reading for today, it's one of my favorites that I preach on the sidewalk. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants will live. Every life has value because we bear the image of God, not because of circumstances. Your circumstances do not dictate the truth. That baby is alive, not because of convenience, because we bear the image of God. But the tragic truth we're going to talk about now, we move from what God says to what's happening in our culture today. There's nothing new under the sun. But abortion is the leading cause of death in this nation and in the world. 20,000 children lose their lives every single week in the USA. Over 1 million children lose their lives in the womb, which should be the safest place. Worldwide, 73 million children die a year. That's 1.5 million children a week. We can't call ourselves enlightened if we take the lives of our own children. 1 in 3 women will be affected by this. But that also means 1 in 3 men. Many identify as Christian. Now I'm going to say this, I dare to say this, that it's more of a male issue. Because if men stood up and took their rightful place where they should be as the priest of their home, the leader and provider of their home, that these women wouldn't be led to go and do this. We want these women to run to the church, not to these places of death. And right now, I want to welcome up my sister, Stephanie Jacobson, from Bulletproof Alliance, and she's going to do a short demonstration. You've heard the tragic truth. You've heard what's being said. Now listen.
Good morning. This morning, I would like for you just to settle back in your chair where you are right now, and I'd like for you to close your eyes. We have all seen the reality of abortion in America. But today, I would like for you to hear it. What you're about to hear is metal BBs striking the side of a tin can. Every tiny BB represents 10,000 lives lost in the wars of America's past. 10,000 lives for every single BB that strikes this can. This is the reality of what has and is occurring in our nation. The Revolutionary War. The Civil War. World War One, World War Two, the Korean Conflict. The conflict in Vietnam. 9/11 and the war on terror. Since 1973, the war on the pre-born human. God help us.
Deliver those who are drawn towards death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, "Surely we did not know this," does not he who weighs the heart consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And he, will he not render to each man according to his deeds? If we know, we're called to respond. We need to repent for this nation and the world. Because right now, we may look like we're under a season of blessings. But the Lord wants none to perish and all to come to repentance. But this is not about condemnation. It is not the unforgivable sin. Because in Christ it is healing and restoration. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We've seen women restored, families restored, because our God redeems. That's who he is. And prayer is the key. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We're not fighting against people. We're standing in the gap spiritually. We do not fight against flesh and blood. We're fighting the spirit behind them. And when the church prays, things change. But look what God has done. And this is not just 30. This is what God has done through his church. Thousands of babies have been saved. Churches have been mobilized. Workers have left the industry and we find them work that glorifies God. Thousands of professions of faith, baptisms, because when the church shows up, God moves. Now I want to talk about what's happening here. Let me tell you about a young woman named Josiah. She attends our church and she's given me permission to share. She was in a housing program. And they told her she had to go and get an abortion. They told her that she had to go and take the life of her child because they don't allow children. She was being pushed into a decision. But by the grace of God, she came to our local office, which is just down the street. The very place that this church and other churches have prayed outside of for 4 years, we stood there and prayed over it. What used to be Astra Women's Center, for 23 years, it made $2 million a year. It offered student discounts, FIU, FAU, all the U's. It would do anything to take the life of a child, including underage children without parental consent. We prayed outside of that place. We took the church to the front line, is what I'm asking you to do this weekend. God answered our prayers, and it's now called the Plan for Parenthood. Not to be mistaken with Planned Parenthood, to play on words. And now it's a place of life with free ultrasounds, free pregnancy tests, diapers, essentials. But women are still coming to this place every single day. I still think it was because it was in that community for so long, people still turn up and we tell them that there's hope and his name is Jesus. Josiah met a guy on the corner of the street and he said to her, you want to go to this place down here? It's on the left-hand side. I think that was an angel. I really do. He sent her to us. She walked up and she rang our doorbell. And I answered through the Ring door camera. I've got a Ring doorbell ministry as well. And I began to minister to her. I spoke to her about life and what our God says. I shared the gospel with her. I told her to trust in God. And I was making promises that I was looking up saying, Lord, I'm making promises that you're going to keep. But his promises are true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I seen a young woman that was scared, worried about becoming homeless, thinking that she didn't have a choice. But our God is bigger. Our God is stronger. And right there, she said yes. She said yes to life. And after she said yes, the Lord answered the prayers that had been prayed. And within 2 months, she had a home. That's some of her pregnancy tests. Next slide. She had a home. She had to hide her pregnancy for a season. This is her home. She helped paint the home herself. We went in there. But she had to hide her pregnancy for a season while we were working everything out. Well, while the Lord was working everything out in the background. But today, baby Jion is alive and well. Thank you. We love you. And she attends church every week. She doesn't miss it. Even when we're not here, she turns up. And the baby's hearing the gospel every single day. But not only that, she's not alone. She's being mentored. She's being discipled. Right here in our home church. We now have over 300 women in our program across South Florida being walked with in this very same way in churches all around you, from Calvary Plantation to VLC to Gracias Obra Gracia, all over Florida, we've got women in churches who are being mentored and discipled and loved. We've seen hundreds of professions of faith, baptisms, baby showers. We've had many baby showers here already. Lives have been transformed because that's what our God does. He transforms lives. And now, Miss Josiah herself wants to be baptized. And she's going to be going through the classes in May. Praise the Lord. All glory to God. And we're having a baby shower here, right here in our church, on June 20th. And everyone in here is invited to celebrate this life. You're all invited. And as Pastor Ray mentioned earlier, we are now today a house of refuge. And what that means, we are saying yes to discipleship, yes to mentoring, yes to loving, walking with women and families, not just for a moment, but for the journey from the womb to the tomb. We'll stay with them, we'll walk with them. They'll have a spiritual guide who'll teach them and pour into them. Not just for a moment, but for the whole journey, as long as she wants us in her life. And as we hear that story, we're also stepping into Mother's Day. And motherhood is not an accident. It's designed by God. Children are a gift from the Lord. Children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior, the scriptures say. And motherhood reflects something of God's heart. Care, sacrifice, love. And I know that in a room this size, this lands differently for each and every one of you. Some of you are mothers. Some of you long to be a mother. Some of you have lost children like myself. And some carry regret. But God sees you. He knows your story. And when we talk about choosing life, we're not just talking about a decision. We're talking about something so sacred. Because every life has purpose in the hands of God. And there are mothers right now who are not being celebrated. They're afraid. They feel alone. And in that moment, they need the church not to judge them, but to stand with them, to walk with them, to love them. And that's what we do. We talk about restored life. Post-abortion, it's not the unforgivable sin. There is hope, and his name is Jesus if you repent and believe. And this is a place that you can come and speak to any one of us, any one of the team here. And you can confide in us and we'll walk with you because you are forgiven and set free when you surrender the secret. And I encourage you to do so. So you've heard the message today, what's happening in your own backyard. The place where we'll be meeting is called Michael Benjamin. It's been there since 1975. The doctor's name is Kirk Christopher. You can pray for him. He's been taking the lives of children for 40 years. This place right now takes the lives of up to 50 children a day where they're scheduled to die. Where we meet, it backs onto a school. So there's a wall here and the abortion center is there. And there's a school here. We meet at Tamarack Elementary School. That line is literally the life between life and death. That wall. And there's children playing in the playground. And there's children on the other side of that wall dying in a room, which should be the safest place, the mother's womb. A school bus pulls up to the front and picks up the children to go to school. Right outside the place where children are being led to death. Nehemiah in chapter 1 and 2. He heard about the walls of Jerusalem. He prayed, he went, and he rebuilt. And that's what we're inviting you into. We're inviting you to let's rebuild the wall one family at a time. Take back the ground that the Lord's already won, because all ground is his. All ground is holy ground. And I'm calling you to action. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love is not words. Love is an action. And here's the question. What's your response? I'm not asking you to do everything, but I am asking you to do something. So, if you got one of these cards, I haven't got one on me. At our desk outside there, we have cards. You should have received one when you walked in. If you didn't, you can come to the desk and see us at the end, the table. That's your step from hearing to responding. Every single prayer, person in here can pray. But on Wednesday, we ask you to pray and fast with us. Even if it's one meal, join us, because this starts with prayer, because prayer is the greater work. So every single person in here can fill out a card to say, I am praying on Wednesday, if you can't make Saturday. And then on Saturday, we're going to gather at Tamarack Elementary School. It's going to take around 60 to 90 minutes. We're going to do a small service, and we're going to walk outside the abortion center, and we're going to pray. We're not protesting. We're not condemning. We're praying. We're standing in the gap. And for those, I know the question's in your head right now, there is bathrooms. There's a bathroom there on site, just in case. I know someone's saying, I wonder if there's bathrooms, because everyone asks me that. There's definitely bathrooms. And we've also got a police escort, so you can come with peace. We have a police escort as well. You don't have to do everything, but you cannot do nothing. Because now you know. You've seen what God says. You've seen what's happening. You've seen what God is doing. I'm going to end up walking over here. I'll step over this way. You've seen what God is doing. So I'm asking you to fill out the connection card for three reasons. First of all, we don't want to fluff our numbers. We want to keep a real metric of how many people are standing and praying with us. This is not just an information grab. We want to be able to testify to what God is doing through his people. Second, because we meet at a school, and for insurance purposes, we need to know who's present. Because God forbid anything would happen, we want to steward this responsibly. We want to make sure everyone's covered under our insurance. And the third reason is, we want to show the watching world that the sleeping giant is waking up. The church is not silent. The church is praying, showing up and standing for life. And the gates of hell will not prevail against God and his people. That's what it says. But most of all, please pray. Because that's where it begins with. If you want to get involved in ministry, please don't hesitate to ask at the table. If you want to support us financially as the Lord allows, please do so. If you want to become a mentor, a restored life rep, and walk spiritually with these women and men, we need men too. We can connect you. And again, I'll say it again, most of all, pray. Because that's where the Lord does the work. That's where the battle is fought. So I'll let me pray right now. Father God, we come before you humbled, Lord. Thank you for being the author of life. Thank you for your mercy, your grace and truth. Your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, soften our hearts where they need to be softened. Align us with what you say about life, Lord. Give us courage not just to hear but to respond. For every mother who is afraid, be her peace, Lord. For every life at risk, Lord, make a way. And as for us, your church, help us to love in action and not just words. Use us to stand in the gap. Use us to reflect your heart and let everything we do bring glory to you. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you, guys.